Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster on KVOI. It is Friday, the 26th of April, 2013. Hope you are having a great day and looking forward to a good weekend after a very nice week. We thank you for joining us on the Buckmaster Show. We are live here on KVOI Monday through Friday during the noon hour. And we stream our show. We make it easy for you. You can listen to us live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And our podcasts are available again on my website, thetucsoncitizen.com, carrying our program, and thetucsonsentinel.com as well. And we also have links now on the home pages of Blog for Arizona and the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, that's gvnews.com. Our Friday Focus interview today, State Representative David Gowan is with us, a Republican from Sierra Vista. Representative Gowan is the majority leader in the Arizona House of Representatives. Joining me in studio to question Representative Gowan, who is in our on our Buckmaster Show live line, is Linda Valdez, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. We'll be joined, for the Arizona Republic. I was thinking of Sarah Garrett Gasson, who has the same title, in effect, as you do, Linda. And I was thinking about Sarah, who is running a few minutes late, but will be joining us in a couple of minutes. Sarah is the editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. And of course, you work for and have worked for the Arizona Republic for
20 years, but 20 years
Who's
ago,
counting? Yeah.
20 years ago, I was an editorial writer and columnist Arizona Daily Star.
Okay, so there you go. Representative Gowan with us. Representative, how are you today?
I'm doing quite well. How you doing, Bill?
Doing real well. We hit the 100 mark for the Arizona legislative session on Tuesday, I believe. How is the session going? I see now that Republicans and Democrats, actually, you've decided now to work 3 days a week starting next week?
Yeah, once we hit the 100-day, we decided, with all the bills dwindling down and it just focusing on the budget aspect with the governor, we'll just dwindle down so people who have their jobs out in the world there, because, you know, we're considered a citizen legislature, so they have jobs. So they have to get out there and make sure they make some money for their families.
Here's Linda Valdez of the Arizona Republic.
Hi, Representative Gowan. How are you doing?
Hi, Linda. How are you?
I'm good. Well, there was a big press conference yesterday with some of the Republican leadership saying that they are opposed to the Medicaid expansion. The governor has come back and said she's still determined to make this happen. It seems to be a bit of an impasse. Where do we go from here?
Well, it goes to the ball's in her court at the moment, because we're talking with her, negotiating with her, and we're seeing where we have a layout, and then we'll know a little more next week.
Well, and everything is on hold until there's a decision on the Medicaid expansion. The budget can't go anywhere till that's done. Is that correct?
It appears the Medicaid piece is that giant gorilla in the corner. Yes.
And the governor doesn't seem to want to budge, so where do we go?
Well, we continue the negotiations, because I have members who don't want to budge. That's the problem here.
There has been talk that the votes are there for a simple majority, both in the Senate and the House, but the bill has to get to the floor. Are you hearing any talk about trying to go around leadership to get that the issue to the floor?
I haven't heard any of that. I hope there's no talk of that out there, because they select their leadership to lead them. So it would be in bad taste, I think, to do something like that. But I haven't heard anything like that. And I don't know if we have the votes in the House to get to 31.
Let me, why don't you articulate for us, Representative Gowan, your opposition and the opposition of many of the Republicans in the legislature to this Medicaid expansion. What is the opposition?
Well, there's a couple aspects here. Obviously, the major piece is we know the federal government is broke. I mean, right now they're, I suspect around June, and sometime in the middle of summer there, we're going to be $17 trillion in the hole. And that's all 50 states, actually, to create the federal government. So it is our debt as citizens. And what seems to be scary, just like they do many times, is they'll promote that they're going to pay for certain things, and they're going to come in and be the knight on the white horse there that saves everybody, and then they back out and become the dark knight at that point, I guess, and pull back their monies but leave the mandate, and we wouldn't be able to afford in those natures anything that could occur in that realm that they're promising us. So when they're promising us 90% in a certain expansion piece, and if it falls below that, it's just going to cost us a tremendous amount of money to try to keep people within that. And especially at the federal government level, when they're even on the other side who have passed this, you know, the good old saying of Nancy Pelosi of let's pass it and then we'll figure it out. Well, they're starting to figure out they don't have the resources or money to implement this thing. And I'm afraid we're going to get left behind.
Well, the governor does have an escape clause built into her proposal. If support goes below 80%, then Arizona is out. You don't have any confidence in that?
You know, I was here, Linda, in 09 and 10 when we had the drastic reductions in our budget and some big cuts we had to do. When I came in 09, we were slated to spend roughly $11.2 billion, and we were able to cut that on down to get us into a $3 billion gap. But we were only receiving about $6.4 billion in revenues. That was our large gap. So the bad part of that year is that we had to go in and make those reductions, and we were only able to cut it back to $3 billion in the hole. And then we had to take part in 2010 and try to continue the bridge mending there. And I was there when we had to do that kind of stuff. I don't want to see any future members have to come back and go in there and actually do those reductions and cuts. It just nobody comes up here to do that, and that's what I would foresee.
Just one more quick thought on the Medicaid expansion. The business community really wants this. The chamber wants this. The business community is solidly behind the expansion. The business community is traditionally the constituency of the Republican Party, but yet we've got the leadership in the legislature, the Republican leadership, so strongly opposed to this. How do you reconcile that? Why aren't you listening to your folks in the business community?
I do believe, you know, the businesses out there, I'm around and I meet with my businesses and such. I can tell you, the vast majority are just businesses. They don't believe in spending this much more money. You know, 46 cents per dollar from the federal government is all borrowed now.
But they're not. The Arizona Chamber of Commerce doesn't represent the business community in Arizona?
I don't say they don't represent them, but I do know they represent a vast array of hospitals as well.
Uh-huh. And hospitals are
within those hospitals, that's what they're asking for. Now, on the business side that are out there, you take out those hospital regions, and I would tell you, you're going to have a vast majority that don't want this done. To get to the other point here, it's not that the leadership's against it, is that our whole grassroots are against this. The whole Republican base does not like this. Independents are starting to reach a point of that where they don't want to see this anymore, and even the D's are starting to float up that high.
There have been polls that show strong support even among Republicans.
Well, there have been polls that show it the exact opposite, and I would actually say that that poll is probably better. A better picture or photo of what I know from the grassroots that have been complaining about this.
All right. Representative David Gowan is with us. He is the majority leader in the Arizona House of Representatives, 790-2040, 790-2040. If any of you would like to join in the conversation and ask the representative a question or make a comment, he would be delighted to hear from you. Here's Sarah Garrett Gasson now, editorial writer of the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah, you're on with Representative Gowan.
Hi. I wanted to circle back for a moment to the idea that what you're saying, that people are against this, they're starting to have some sort of groundswell against the Medicaid expansion. From what I understand and what I've heard and when I talk to people and the people who contact us, it's exactly the opposite. So I'm wondering, how do you measure what independents and what Democrats and even what Republicans are saying? Because I'm hearing the exact opposite, and I'm guessing Linda probably is too.
Well, that's interesting. You are, I believe, it's the exact opposite of how you pulled that out, because I've been hearing from the grassroots since the beginning of this year, and when the governor had come out for it, I was pounded pretty good by the grassroots itself. When you those other areas, you're looking at certain arrays that are happening with the different polls. I know there are two polls out there. One's the governor's, and the other is the an independent fundly one that looks more like what I have been following since the beginning of this cycle, with when the governor came out with the expansion piece and then what the actual grassroots have been swelling up to do. It's not that they're swelling now. They have already been swelled up. They are actually
probably angry hornets, I would say. We have a giant lawn of grassroots is what you're saying. I wanted to also touch on the emergency rooms, because
I didn't get my full points in before, so we can continue on before you hit that, if you don't mind. There's a second piece here, and it is the abortion issue. And
I'm sorry, but federal legislation already prohibits any federal money being used for abortion, so that is just sort of a non-starter.
Well, it's not to Planned Parenthood. Yeah, I mean, we could disguise things as we want, or we can plainly here. And the plain truth is, the monies that come in that have to go to Planned Parenthood are still going to go to cover whatever they need to draw that money out, so that the money that they would be normally using to just cover regular costs will go right over into abortion. So
no, I'm sorry, that's just not factually true. Planned Parenthood offers a variety of preventive health services, family planning, cancer screenings, and it's been in business for a very long time. And I don't understand. I mean, I think I do understand people's objection, but it's just not based in facts. And if I could get back to the emergency room question, people aren't going to be sick.
That is not true. The fact is, just like in anything, when money goes to a certain region, that frees money up that usually goes to something else, and they can put it at any point they want. And that's the absolute fact and truth.
So it is not better to expand preventive care, fund cancer screening.
It's not better to create abortion.
No, if you'd let me finish my sentence, please.
The people
you're saying you would rather not have cancer screenings, preventative care, health care for people who can't afford it otherwise, for men and women, on the off chance or because of the possibility that someone might pull an accounting move that you don't think is appropriate.
Well, that's a great way to put words in my mouth, but that's not anything what I said. Exactly what I said is that when you put money into a certain region, that frees that money up, and we know this is true. It's going to go over, and at any point, if it can attach itself to aborting an infant, then I'm absolutely opposed to that. And I can tell you, this is not me only. It's the whole party within the structure of that. So you have members that were on this that have flipped the exact opposite because of this issue.
Okay, Representative Gowen, stay with us here. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back on the Friday Focus interview on The Buckmaster Show.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The The RTA, delivering our promise to you, completing more than 500 projects and creating more than 2,500 jobs since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
West in La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com. Welcome back to the Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show. We always bring a newsmaker to our listeners every Friday, and today it is Representative David Gowan from Sierra Vista. Representative Gowan on the Buckmaster Show live line. Representative Gowan is the majority leader in the House of Representatives. Representative Gowan, getting back to this Medicaid expansion, what about emergency rooms? If this is denied, isn't this going to mean that people who can't see a doctor are going to wind up in the emergency rooms?
Well, you know, aren't we already in these situations right now in certain dealings? I know we're talking with this, with the new structure. A major piece here is what we're talking about is the 204 population. And we're looking over at childless adults, and there's an attrition piece that has occurred to where we didn't just throw people off. We allowed them to, when they go back to work or certain scenarios where they make more money, then they actually detach off that or they get health insurance at all. So once that occurs, the attrition piece is drawing them down, and we also have these other wings that we're talking about for just regular children or adults with children, pregnant women. We have these gaps where we pay so much and we get a drawdown from the federal government, which is $2 to $1. And the piece here we're talking about, those areas aren't going to be touched, so they're already still affected right now. They are out there and they're insured in that area. We're just talking about the pieces that are above either 100% of the poverty level with those regions I'm talking about, or above 133 or 150 respectively when you're talking about children or pregnant women. So the reality here is people have those choices right now. If they don't, if they're not on the access piece, then they're at a level to where hopefully they're out there getting, they have a job that is capable of giving them that.
But we know for a fact that for thousands and thousands of Arizonans, maybe they, for working adults, they don't have jobs that either offer health insurance as a benefit or that it's, the premiums are so high that they're unaffordable, so they go without health insurance. And so if you're talking about people not having options because they hopefully they have jobs. Yeah, hopefully they do have jobs that offer health insurance, but for thousands and thousands and thousands of them, they don't. So those people will continue to not have access to primary care and will continue to turn up in our emergency rooms, which we all pay for through our health insurance system, because the cost of the care goes somewhere. So how, I'm having a hard time rectifying what you're saying with the reality of how the system is now.
You know, we've created a safety net system in government, which I don't think any of us have certain troubles with. I guess there are certain people out there that really have trouble with just any of this at all, but now that we're in, I don't think there's the safety net piece. I don't think most people have trouble helping out people who are in need and getting them a hand up. But when you start talking about always the handouts and just revert and taking from somebody, giving to somebody else, I think there's a big problem and a indifference there. And so with this, I personally believe in a safety net, and I think we have that. I think it's personal responsibility. People need to go out there and be responsible for their lives and take hold of their lives and get themselves some health insurance.
Well, how do you do that when health insurance isn't offered through your jobs or it's prohibitively expensive? I mean, people with minimum wage jobs working in retail or the service industry, I mean, I've talked to many folks who it's just not a realistic option.
Well, again, do we go to the government to make sure that our children have their haircuts or get their teeth brushed?
Insurance is like the haircuts?
Well, no. It's just that, do we go to the government for everything that we need? Like I said, and don't spin my words around, because I've told you at the beginning, and it's very interesting that you're being very objective as a news person here, but at any rate, the thought here is we believe in a safety net. There is a safety net, and it is there. Now it's time for personal responsibility to come into play. And if you get yourself out of the safety net, to put your boots on and strap those boots up.
Just one quick question about that safety net. I'm sure you saw the front page of the Republic today, the story that said that the feds are likely not going to match Arizona's Medicaid program if it does an abbreviated program with caps, which means that the safety net would go, the full cost of the safety net would fall on Arizona. Does that impact your thinking at all about this?
You're only talking about the childless adults, because that's all you could be talking about, because the other area is actually prohibited, because the Supreme
Court
actually ruled
they can't. Well, there are 60,000 of them that are going to go off the rolls. That's quite a few people. But yes, only those 60,000.
Okay, well, let's clarify that then.
It's clear. What about them?
Well, let me finish here, and I'll give it to you.
Real quickly, if you can, Representative, because there's
all good.
We have a caller who'd like to talk to you, so
Let me finish that point, if I could, here.
Okay.
The point here is, because I don't want it misconstrued out there because they want to report a different thing that's actually true. The reality here is we're talking about the childless adult piece, so let's make that clear, first of all. The other area is they cannot take away that safety net, because the Supreme Court has ruled to them that they cannot do that. They cannot dangle that carrot out and say, we are forced into this mess, and if you don't do that, then we're taking your funding away. That is absolutely false.
All right. Representative, we have Benson City Councilman Chris Moncada is with us. Go ahead, Chris, real quickly with Representative Gowan.
Thank you, Bill. Nice to talk to you, Mr. Representative Gowan. I have two quick points, and one is I kind of agree with you on the Medicaid expansion, but the reason the hospitals are so much in favor of it is hospitals, especially in rural areas like your district, are suffering because of they're about to close. So how do you expect to keep these hospitals open without that expansion? Also, I just want to make a quick point that I'm pretty disappointed in your support of the changes to the TPT tax, and especially the construction sales tax. So I'll hang up and listen. Thank you very much.
Well, no, don't hang up on me, because I need you to clarify on your TPT piece.
No, I'll stay on if you want me to. Absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be great, because I need to know what you're asking me on the TPT. what you're disappointed in me? What part here?
My understanding, if I'm wrong, I will apologize, but my understanding is that you support the changes of the construction sales tax, where they'll no longer go to the city, they'll go to the state. And I'm sure you've heard from many.
Got about 20 seconds, guys. Got a hard break.
Okay, sorry. Well, the TPT piece, I was in favor for the contractors to take the regulation off of them. I have stepped back a bit because I know that it can harm the cities a little bit with taking funding out. So that's why it's in stakeholders meetings right now.
Okay, Representative Gowan, thanks for being with us.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much. Representative David Gowan on the Buckmaster Show. We've got the Friday Reporters Roundtable coming up next.
With SRN News, I'm Jeremy House in Washington. President Obama says the U.S. will investigate Syria's potential chemical weapons use, both on its own and with the United Nations. He says the world can't stand by and permit the use of chemical weapons. The White House says President Obama will sign a measure approved by Congress, one that'll end furloughs of air traffic controllers. The one day out of 10 idling of air traffic controllers led to hundreds of flight delays a day. A federal prison medical center in Massachusetts. This is the new temporary home of Johar Tsarnaev, the surviving Boston Marathon bombing suspect. He was moved there overnight from a Boston hospital where he'd been treated for injuries since his arrest last week. On Wall Street, the Dow is ahead by 38 points at 14,379. The S&P 500 is down, too. More details at srnnews.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Looking for a cool getaway this July? I highly recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at bearmountainlodge.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. It's time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable featuring local journalists who are kind enough to come into the Buckmaster Show to give of their time to talk with you and me about the top stories of the week. Joining us on the Friday Reporters Roundtable, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, and Linda Valdez, who has basically the same job title as Sarah, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Republic. If you have a comment or question, you can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. We want to tell you that today's Reporters Roundtable is brought to you by the City of Benson, which is hosting its 8th annual Bluegrass Festival in the park, and it all begins today at Lions Park in Benson, just 45 minutes east of Tucson on Interstate 10. It's a family fun event featuring great performers, free workshops, and day camping. The complete schedule of events for the Bluegrass in the Park Festival is at BensonVisitorCenter.com. They've got all the information. And Sarah and Linda, speaking of Benson, we heard from Benson City Councilman Chris Moncada. I wish we had had more time with the councilman and Representative Gowan. Representative Gowan is from close to the Benson area, Sierra Vista, just down the road a stretch, as they say, Sarah. Representative Gowan really didn't get a chance to answer the first part of Chris Moncada's question, which was about hospitals in southeastern Arizona struggling.
Right. A big part of the reason we need as a state for this Medicaid expansion to go through is because, and the councilman from Benson pointed it out very well, that there are many rural hospitals, including those in Representative Gowan's own district, where they are in serious jeopardy and close to closing because of funding problems. I mean, hospitals rely on money that comes through various channels, but ultimately is used for patient care. And if that is jeopardized, as it would be if the legislature sticks to its ideological bent, or some in the legislature, rather than following the governor's example and thinking about this practically, then people in rural areas, which make up a lot of people and a lot of voters in Arizona, are going to be in a world of hurt, literally and figuratively. And I wish he had answered that question, because I was really looking forward to how he was going to explain his opinion.
Linda, State Senator Steve Farley, in his letter that he puts out to constituents and friends, the Farley Report from Phoenix, Steve says the longer we stay, the more bad stuff comes out of the woodwork. And he's referring to how this legislative session is now beyond the 100-day mark, and now they'll be cutting back to 3 days a week. This is going to be a long session.
Well, it's kind of interesting. There's a lot left to do, so they decide let's work less hours. I was thinking,
No Mondays.
I was going to pitch that to my boss. You know, I got a lot of work to do, so how about if I work
Don't get
fewer
any
hours?
Ideas there, Rose. My producer, Rosemary Brandt, shaking her head. You know, that's a pretty good idea. Why don't we take Mondays?
only in the state legislature, right? Although the less time they're there, the less damage they can do, I suppose. But the things that we were hearing from Representative Gowan certainly suggest that there is a real impasse there, and that's they've got to deal with the Medicaid issue before they can move on with the budget. And it does seem that they keep coming up, the opponents keep coming up with new strategies to try to sink it. The governor has got a much stronger position now to argue, now that the federal government has said we're not going to let you do this halfway measures.
And that came out.
That came out recently. Yeah, it was in this morning's Republic. That story was in this morning's Republic, and at the same story quoted Andy Biggs as saying that people at the legislature were concerned about primary challenges, which I think is an absurd way for these folks to be making their decisions. We don't elect them to stay in the legislature. We elect them to do a job and go on. As the representative made the point about a citizen legislature, let them do the job, and if they have to face a primary challenge, well, then that's...
So if they went along with the Medicaid expansion, there would be some angry folks who would launch a primary challenge.
In some of the very conservative districts, yes. If they go along with this, they will face primary challenges.
Because everything needs to be funneled through the how do I keep my job as a legislature lens.
Mm-hmm.
I also, just how do you... go forward with a leader like Representative Gowan, and I'm sure he's not the only one who views it this way, who equates healthcare, Medicaid healthcare, public funded healthcare for people with haircuts. I mean, he was making the analogy that, you know, we don't want the government to tell you when to get your haircut. Well, that's a huge gap between the reality of people's health and life and death and something that is just too absurd to even give thought to. It's just the cavern is so huge. I don't see, I'm very depressed now.
Well, there was another major disconnect, I thought, when I asked him about the business community support for expansion, and he sort of dismissed the medical healthcare industry that, oh, yes, they want it, but let's don't think about that.
And they want it very badly.
They've
had three or four news conferences bringing together people from across the state in the healthcare field. I think they've had one recently, but this started like back in January. They are united on this, the healthcare industry.
Well, and it's not for any venal reasons. It's because they understand the point Sarah was making about the cost. I mean, people don't stop getting sick just because they don't have health insurance. They go to the emergency room, and the medical industry, the hospitals, they pay for that, and then we eventually all pay the cost for that. So there are a lot of disconnects in the logic behind the opponents to this expansion, but unfortunately they're in key positions in the legislature.
790-2040, perhaps Sarah or Linda has touched something in you, good or bad. And as far as wanting to make a comment, you can call us at 790-2040. People in the news seem to be a lot of that this week. Senator John McCain's popularity has dropped. Sarah Garrett Gasson, wow, 1 in 4 Arizonans now believe, only 1 in 4 believe he's doing a good job.
You know, Senator John McCain, and I have a complicated relationship, let's just say. I've written about it before. He's not a fan of mine, and I'm probably not a fan of his. But he also is one of these guys who I honestly don't think it matters to him what people say, because he seems to, I think, on one hand, it probably matters way too much. On the other hand, he's going to do what he's going to do. And he is not popular, very much not popular, with a core group of conservatives and then with pretty much everyone on to the left. So I don't know who the 1 in 4 person is, but they are kind of a rare breed, because it seems like even in his home state, he can't catch a break.
Well, this is true. I mean, Senator McCain has been on the right side and the wrong side of many issues over his career. He's definitely on the right side of immigration right now, and I'll give him credit for that. And even at 20-whatever percent, he's more popular than Congress, which weighed in at 13%
yeah, that's a good
the
point,
last
isn't
time.
It? Yeah, so he has 26%, so he has actually double the support of the rank-and-file member of Congress. And we asked for folks who had comments about what Linda and Sarah have been discussing, and the board is now lit up. So let's see if we can go through these callers here in the next 6 or 7 minutes. Shall we begin with Richard? Richard, you're up. Go ahead.
Bill?
Hi, Richard.
Hi, Bill. It's a little confusing how the Medicare thing is going to overlay with the Obamacare, because, you know, you would think, well, if the people are not going to be able to get the insurance through the state, then they can go buy an Obamacare policy in the exchanges. However, the problem with that is I think we all realize they will not be able to afford Obamacare or buy insurance through the exchanges, and therefore they're going to owe a big, fat income tax. Now, this is where Obamacare is so horrible, I think, on the mandate, which was pushed through by the insurance companies. We're now going to push these poorest people into the hands of the IRS. And it's very punitive. Of course, the tax will start out small and it will grow. They will have to be subject to penalties and interest and liens and seizures as they do not pay it over the years.
Okay, Richard. So, thank you for thank you for your comment. Linda or Sarah, you want to weigh in on that real quickly?
This is Sarah. I think, Richard, you're confusing. You're getting things kind of all wrapped up into a giant ball when they're part of the Medicaid expansion is part of the health insurance reform. And as far as the IRS goes, I think I'm assuming you're referring to, you know, there might be a penalty if you don't buy health insurance. But the people who would qualify for this Medicare make so little money, they're in no danger, as far as I know, of being penalized because their income is really, really, really low. So it's not the point of getting the Medicare expansion is to get health care for those people because they can't afford it even with tax breaks through the health care reform.
Kristen is up next, and Kristen agrees with Representative Gowan. Go ahead, Kristen.
This is Christine.
Oh, I'm sorry, Christine.
Yeah, hi. First of all, I'd like to make a comment that I think the disconnect is you two being reporters, because I would like to know where you've even done one article on the other side of how people, small business owners, and individuals like me who are opposed to this and our side of this.
I've got to clarify, first of all, neither one of us are reporters. We both write commentary.
So we do reporting to do our jobs. Like, we go out and we find facts and talk to people and do the work of reporting. But then we write commentary, which is more analysis, opinion. It's not just straight up news.
Okay. Well, because he is a representative, and he kept saying, I want to represent the people, and he is representing people like me. And one of you made the comment to him, people like me are not calling opinion pieces of the paper to tell us how we feel about Medicaid expansion. One of my big points is I am an individual, and this is going to hurt us. I do not want the government involved in my health insurance or involved in my doctors.
Well, it's a little late for that. I mean, are you not going to get on to Medicare when you turn 65? I mean, the government has been involved in healthcare for quite some time. What they're discussing at the legislature is trying to expand the program for the very poor. The rest of it's going to go into effect. And I mean, seriously, are you going to turn down Medicare? Or do you have an elderly parent who's on Medicare? I mean, the government is involved in that and has been for quite some time. And most people are quite happy with it.
You were going to make one more comment before that about the editorial.
Just as far as being an editorial writer, just to follow up on what Sarah said. Yeah, right. We do reporting, but we are not reporters as such. And our job description includes opinion.
Okay. And let's see if we can get Shelton in real quickly. Shelton has a question about medical marijuana. Go ahead, Shelton.
Yes, well, there's a bill in the legislature that's gone to the House to look at the amendments to Senate Bill 1443 that would permit the universities to get into research to recommend marijuana to treat more conditions. And in doing so, you know, you're going against the pharmaceutical industry, which, you know, annually comes up with new medications. So how do you square that, Sarah and Linda? You know, should the universities get into research to go up against the medical community and the pharmaceutical industry?
Okay, thank you, Shelton.
I've always thought this whole medical marijuana issue is just a bogus issue. We should legalize marijuana and be done with it. The way it's handled now, it's not medicine. It's a street drug that they sell through special little little offices that are not pharmacies.
Dispensary.
They are not. It's not a medicine. So
right.
As far as studying what its effectiveness, the pharmaceutical companies can do that, but this whole thing is a sham.
Well,
medical marijuana is a sham.
We didn't have time to get into a couple of the other pieces that I was going to talk about. Senator Al Melvin announcing this week he's running for governor. We'll have him on the show Monday. He can explain why he's made that decision. And did I read this right in the Arizona Republic today? Andrew Thomas, the disgraced former Maricopa County attorney, who was disbarred last year for ethical misconduct. Linda, he is running for what office?
He is running for governor. We're going to have us quite a race.
Okay. That's going to do it for the roundtable today. We'll be back with Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. Thank you, Sarah and Linda.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Since 2006, the RTA has completed more than 500 projects, including 180 miles of bikeways and more than 50 bus pullouts. Current projects include La Cunada from Ina to River and the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars have created more than 2,500 road construction jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony? Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
All week we look forward to hearing that music because it means it's the weekend, officially declared so on the Buckmaster Show and brought to you by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Silver City, one of the top 100 arts communities in America. It's just 3.5 hours east of Tucson to historic Silver City. So much to do over there. Downtown's fun. A lot of great shops and galleries and plenty of nice places to stay, including Little Toad Creek Inn and Faywood Hot Springs Resort and Manzano's RV Park. You can find out all about it on their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. And now we welcome in the host of Weekend Watch, Mr. Matt Russell, the Inside Tucson Food and Beverage, emphasis on beverage, columnist and award-winning Tucson publicist. Matt is a man who is always looking for a great time, looking for a good time, and usually the good time includes a meal and a fine beverage. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Happy Friday to you.
Same to you, my friend. You know I love animals. Is there somewhere I can, as they say, kind of put on the dog?
Absolutely. Well, just like you said, Bill, the weekend officially kicks off today. And for dog lovers who also love great food and wine, tonight's Putting on the Dog event is the best way to get the weekend started. This is going to benefit the Humane Society. It starts at 6 o'clock tonight up at the Hilton El Conquistador, and they're going to have a silent auction with more than 400 items, a wide range of wines, live music, and, of course, delicious food from local restaurant members of the Tucson Originals. And the best part for dog lovers in your audience, Bill, they can bring their dogs with them to the party. This is going to be a lot of fun.
And I know that our friend Gene Muller, who is the dog trainer, he is the official trainer of the dogs that Buckmaster supports. And the
Beautiful.
Dog we really support is Peanut, who is Rosemary Brett, our fine producer's wonderful dog. And Gene has done such a wonderful job with training Peanut. And Gene's a great dog trainer. Gene Muller is his name.
Wonderful.
Saturday morning. Yeah, Peanut is the official dog of the Buckmaster Show. The official cat, of course, is Princess Buckmaster, the Norwegian forest cat. Saturday morning, what about a... We're always looking for a nice kind of place to go and have a great breakfast.
Yeah, well, you know, I discovered a great cafe last week called Fresh. And they're over on River, just west of Hacienda del Sol Road. And I thought it would be the perfect place for a fresh and delicious breakfast this weekend. Their doors open at 8 a.m. on weekend mornings, and you can choose from a beautiful selection of breakfast sandwiches and wraps and baked goods, all kinds of great coffees and teas, nearly 10 different varieties of fruit smoothies, too. So I say grab a seat on their cool patio for breakfast, and you might be tempted to stay for lunch as well. It's all at Fresh this weekend.
It's a Weekend Watch discovery. And again, where is Fresh located?
Right on River Road, just west of Hacienda del Sol Road.
Oh, it's very close to the Russell Public Communications offices, of course, too.
Exactly.
Don't tell me we have another one. Another restaurant is opening.
I know. I think this is 4 weeks in a row. Can you believe it? Another one is opening, but this guy is no stranger to the Tucson food scene, Bill. Jamaica native Dwayne Hall has been serving up authentic Jamaican food from his food truck for several years. And because it was so popular, he's decided to open a restaurant of his own called Dee's Island Grill over there on Winter Haven Shopping Center on Fort Lowell. Lots of jerk and oxtails and plantains, the works. And you know, Bill, I love the heat, so this is definitely going to be on my weekend plan.
Yeah, give me that jerk anytime.
Okay. Right on.
Matt, have a great weekend, my friend.
You do the same, Bill. Thanks.
Hey, Hey, and a quick shout out to our friend Dr. Gary Arbach, who is a really good photographer, a great photographer, I think. He's put the pictures that he took at the Buckmaster show yesterday, and Rose has put them up on the Facebook page, and they look really good. So check out our Facebook page, a new picture for the Buckmaster show at Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster show, become a friend of the show. Culligan Water, thank you, our friends at Culligan. We offer Culligan Water to all of our guests, and I say thank you to Culligan, and the water, believe me, it just simply tastes better. John C. Scott comes up this afternoon. John's 3 to 5 here on KVOI. Tomorrow morning, it's all expert talk. Really gets underway with Phil Cedar. We hope Phil's doing better after his open heart surgery. He may even be back on the air tomorrow. Who knows? The surgery was a week or so ago, but he's doing very well. Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. That comes up Monday morning. Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, owns the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of my lovely and talented producer, Rosemary Brandt, have a great weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.